Judges chapter 15, verses 9 to 13. Samson betrayed. Samson, after his onslaught against the Philistines, has retired to a cave in the rock of Etam, verse 8. But the Philistines want revenge. Verse 9. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. And the men of Judah are frightened, and they ask, "Why have you come to fight us?" Verse 10, the Philistines reply, "We want Samson. We want Samson as prisoner, and we want to deal with him. We want to do to him as he did to us." They want to kill him. They want to destroy him. So what do the men of Judah do? Here is this man who is raised to be their deliverer. Here is this man who is working against the Philistines, overthrowing them. So what will they do? Will they support Samson? Not at all. 3,000 of them. What a number. Verse 11. 3,000 of them go up to the rock of Etam. And what is their attitude towards Samson? "Don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What are you doing this for? Why have you done this? Why have you done this to us? Why are you causing trouble? Make peace with these people. They're our rulers. Yield and give in. Stop messing about and annoying them." And Samson replies meekly, I merely did to them what they did to me." "Well, we've come," they snap at him. "We've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." And Samson yields. "Swear to me," he says, "that you won't kill me yourselves." "Agreed, we won't kill you, we won't kill you. Oh, look, we'll only tie you up and hand you over to them. We won't do it. No, 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 we won't do it." So they bound him with 2 new ropes and led him up from the rock. What a disgraceful episode. Samson betrayed. Here is this champion for Israel, for Judah, coming out to overthrow the Philistines, raised up by God. And those who should be his supporters, what are they? They're his betrayers. They want to give him over to the Philistines. This man needs support, and yet he is deserted, and he is betrayed. The men of Judah are cowards. What poor, wretched, weak, miserable specimens they are. What lily-livered people they are. There's no fight in them. They don't fight the Philistines. They want to fight Samson. And look at the way they go about it. It's Pilate, isn't it, before time? It's the Jews before time with Christ. What do you mean? What do I mean? Well, it wasn't our hand that touched him, you know. Oh, no, it was the Romans. That's what the Jews can say. Pilate wants to wash his hands of it. The Jews here, well, no, no, we wouldn't kill Samson. If Samson's killed him, it's not us. No, no, no. All we did was tie him up. Not me, God, not me, God. How we heard this in the Second World War when the Nazis were caught. Well, no, it wasn't me. I was just obeying orders, you know. It wasn't me, no. These men, they're weak, cowardly, making excuses. They're complainers. They want to submit. They want to lie down. They don't want to resist. They yield. It's the men of Judah, verse 13, who are doing the dirty work. You can hardly read it. "Oh, no, we won't kill you. We'll only tie you up and hand you over to them. We know what they'll do to you, but that's not our responsibility." Washing their hands of it. Do you know, with Christ, all deserted Christ and fled. So what are we going to say about this? Well, my brothers and sisters, those who are in the forefront, those who raise their voice, those who publish abroad the gospel, they need support from brothers and sisters, prayerful support, actual support. The arm, the handshake, the kind look, the good word, how much it can help. But so often, people stand aloof and leave the champion to stand alone and take the pain. Look at Samson here. This is a rebuke to those of us who will not stand with those who stand for Christ. Christ had it. He was deserted by all his disciples, and they fled. So be a supporter, my brother and sister. And if you're struggling for Christ and standing for Christ, I hope you find support. And let us thank God for those who do stand with us and help us and encourage us. We need it. Here is Samson, all alone, faced by the Philistines and even by 3,000 of his own people. But you know, underneath it all, let us never forget this. Chapter 14, verse 4. Chapter 13, verse 5. God is intending all this for good. God is using all these things, even these awful things, even these betrayals and these cowardly Jews. God is using it because he's going to overthrow the Philistines through Samson. Samson is paying the price, but God is using him. God is sovereign here. Now, we've seen this again and again with Samson, but this is the great message of the life of Samson. Circumstances come and go. There are sins, there's flaws, there's mistakes, there's blunders, there's guilt, there's all sorts of things going on. But God is working, not tainted by sin, working his sovereign purpose out. It happened with Joseph, you know. Chapter 45 of Genesis, verse 7. Chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 20. You meant it for ill, said Joseph to his brothers, but God intended it for good. God brought me here. Oh, it was terrible to be sold as a slave and mistreated and all the rest of it, but God intended it for good. The brothers were guilty and responsible, and so was everybody else involved in it. But God was sovereignly working out his purpose. The same with Christ. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, can say, you did it by wicked hands, but God was determined. Yes. Now, God's determination and decree did not absolve their responsibility. But God does work his purpose out through all the strange circumstances of life. There's a hymn that's sort of half-passing through my mind, but I can't think of it and I can't find it. But men combining against me, they strike me, but behind it all, the hand is God's, the hand is thine. There's a hymn that runs like that somewhere. In other words, yes, men are involved and they're doing this and that. But as a believer, I want to look beyond the circumstances, beyond the men, and see the sovereign hand of God. That's the lesson I learn here. These dark clouds, these difficult days, these trials, they will actually yield mercy. God works in a strange way. It's old Cowper's hymn again. God moves in a mysterious way. Samson is going through the mill here, but God is working all things inexorably to bring about his decree, and the Philistines will fall. It doesn't excuse the men of Judah, but God is working. So, let us be supporters of those who stand, not betrayers. And those who do stand, may God bless them with supporters. And in all our dark and difficult days, brother and sister, in all these trials, may we look beneath the surface and see that whatever's happening on the surface of the sea, all is calm below, and God is working his purpose out. And all things do work together for good to them that love God. Yes, they do. Samson might be betrayed, he might be cheated, and all the rest of it. But underneath, God is working good in and through this man. And so it will be for us, brother and sister. We may not always see it, but God is sovereign. And all things work together for our good, those of us who love God, the called according to his purpose. Praised be his name. May that be a comfort and encouragement to you today, my brother and sister. And if there's a challenge in this word for some, may that come home with strength too, for Christ's sake. Amen.